Blog Talk Radio.
Coalition of Women of Color, Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host for today. Today is April 29th. It is approximately 100 days to the date that President Obama took office. And they are really convinced that this man could walk on water in the 100 days, but he's done such a tremendous job. I just say, hey, keep on rolling. Wanted to congratulate our Youth Bill program on its radio show that they have put together for the Youth Bill Foundation. And those young ladies are hosting live every Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And their call-in number for the youth is something that we're going to have on site, but I want to give that out to everybody. It's 646-478-0286. And it is a tremendous show with the young ladies that Usamaka, Obiachi, Queen, Brewster, and not sure who the other lady was, but I think her name is I don't want to mess up her name, but she did a wonderful job. They had a very good interaction of the show. They allowed a lot of people to kind of come in and relax and talk to each other in their language, and that is so important. Some of the dialogue yesterday was very tremendous, and asking questions in regards to the collaboration between the two age groups. Why do they feel that we don't listen to them? And I had to be very honest about it. So with that being said, that you know, this old-fashioned thinking, when we deal with our young people, that the kids are supposed to be seen and not heard, and so therefore I guess we are going against the grain of what the good word says, which is a child should lead them. And so these kids in this generation had only 2 days to put together their show and come up with the dialogue, the guest host, the entire thing. And they did that, and one of the young ladies are in the midst of their finals at school. And so it was a great show, and I just want everybody to know that this group of young folks are the leaders in the Youth Build Foundation. They represent small young business owners, entrepreneurs, so to speak, and they have their own businesses. They market themselves, and they truly have a passion for the industry, the multimedia, very, very strong in the category of their studies and communications and all that. So very, very astute young women. And we had our co-executive director, Mario Coleman. He actually was able to identify the show in a way that made sense to the makeup of the feel of the show. So we definitely want to commend him and thank him for putting his time and efforts into the overall show. And I want to have a topic today. Segment of the show is Changing the Face of Contracting. But what I want to do is I want to just kind of quickly go to another song, and I want everybody to sit back and listen to this. This is going to be a very short show. We had some technical difficulties earlier, so that's why we are airing a little bit later. So therefore, I don't have anything after this song. We can get into some other aspects. Thank you. Okay. Welcome back to the show. As I said before, I had some technical difficulties, and so even though we got about 39 minutes left of the show, we want to try to stay consistent to bringing on some kind of capacity of the format. So one of the things I wanted to talk about today was outside of the fact that the Youth Bill did do it, Foundation did a wonderful job, and we're hoping that all of our listeners will get their kids involved in the preparation of the foundation. And there's something there for ages 13 to 28. To me, those are young folks. So, you know, after that, you know, it's time to get busy. One of the things I want to share with everybody is about the one of the issues regarding the trade union and the solutions to what the Brotherhood of Carpenters have done in backing President Barack Obama. And, you know, the old administration had a, they ran a anti-labor platform, and we really need to be very, very, very selective in what we say about the union. Because if you remember correctly, even though the unions had some discriminatory practices in the past, and they probably still have some, it is the only time in history where people of color were able to get living wages. Living wages is the words I'm saying. And when you have living wages, you can put your kids through college. You can buy homes. You can buy cars. You can buy a piece of the American dream. And as we've been strongly understood that a lot of the old regulatory reforms have always been a way to suppress the American middle class. And so that's what you see in the construction industry. And when you look at the Brotherhood of Carpenters and their endorsement of President Barack Obama, that it affected the lives of a lot of people when this endorsement did take place. Now, the Brotherhood had separated from the AFL-CIO, and make sure I make this very clear, they separated because of President Bush. When he first became president 8 years ago, he supported the anti-labor platform. And so as you see now quickly, especially in the auto industry, especially in the South, you see a lot of foreign plants, Toyota, Hyundai, Honda, who are in the rural areas of the South and working people to make cars now at $7 to $9.50 an hour. And these are the cars that, they have longevity, but when they were made over in China, they had a different working class of people. They had pride in it. Now you got people who are used to making anywhere between $20 an hour to $30 an hour, building a vehicle that you all like to drive for $7 and $9 an hour just to save their house. So I don't know who I would want to have my car made by, somebody that's disgruntled or somebody that is making great money and has a great life and want to see everybody else with a great life. So that's what the union represents. We also want to let everybody know that the coalition is finally and legally signatory to the IATSE union, and that is going to be a tremendous situation for the youth, and informing people about that. We want to do an entire show segment, hopefully with the body of the IATSE union here in Atlanta and in New York and California. And so we're looking forward to bringing that situation together. And what that means for us is that, and this makes very good sense to me, is that the coalition is now signatory to two of the oldest, most politically rooted organizations in the world. IATSE has been around since 1895, and the Brotherhood of Carpenters have been around since 1920 in terms of the Brotherhood and the way it's positioned. And so we have sustainability. I wanted to let everybody also know that Legacy Bank in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, will be officially the bank for the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction. So we built some social capital networks, we built some financial capital networks, and now in result of building human capital networks, the Youth Build Program is building human social capital with our youth, building back the dreams for our young people, and making sure that we have a future for our generations to come. And what that does for us is that it gives us some pride in what we felt was our mission, and it says the charge to keep I have. And so I want to also thank Mario Coleman for a couple other things. If you guys go on our site, you will see a YouTube of introduction presentation for that was done by the multimedia executive director, Mario Coleman. It gives you a good effect of what we're trying to do. And with that being said, what I'm going to do is, like I said earlier, we had a lot of technical difficulties. I want to jump back into the UBC because it's very important that you all understand that the Brotherhood has done a tremendous amount of job, in utilizing solutions for our industry. So I'm going to play a song from Dusty Muhammad, our executive director for the Youth Build Program. So you guys sit tight and listen to a song from called Grace.
And calling, and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. My face, I'm all you will ever need. All you'll ever
That was Destiny Muhammad. I had an opportunity to understand why that song came into her heart. This was a song that she wrote for her sister who passed and she mentioned to me about the sombering moment that she understood that even though she was on life support, that the body, that she had left that body, and that moments after they made a decision to release her and let her go, that that's what grace meant to her. And it's a beautiful song, and we're very blessed to have Destiny with us at, and patiently waiting to work here in Atlanta. We want to ensure everybody that there's such a cohesion of women, powerful women around the country, that are waiting very patiently to bring their voices to the forefront. We also want to thank Tradeswomen Now and Tomorrow and Chicago Women of Trades, Lauren Sugarman, on continuing to allow the coalition a place at the forefront for our voices to be heard collectively with theirs, and initiating a seamless front of support and sisterhood that we have in solidarity that we have not had in the past. And also want to let everybody know that that means a lot when women all over the world come together and become one voice, because anytime what has been happening in the past is that the other gender has always separated us. And then when you separate people from their flock, like any wolf, a cunning wolf, when he separates the flock away from the each other, then there's a way to pick each one of those lambs off piece by piece. And this is why I mentioned this, is that we mentioned this and have also did a show regarding the $340 billion that were allocated for the construction industry under the Bush administration, and then $5 billion of it that actually they stated that $140 billion went to women-owned businesses under the watch of the SBA. However, it was discovered through the Women's Chamber of Commerce out of D.C. that only $5 billion. So they, in essence to that, that shows that because we weren't talking, because no forums was created, because there was no seamlessness between the groups, because there's all sorts of women, wonderful women organizations throughout the country, but the ones that are being listened to are the ones that are on the Hill. Well, policies have been made in the fight for equality and the fight for to have living wages, and then to implement some form of generations for our young women. The bottom line is that if you're not at the head of the table, then you're at the you're not really doing too much. I can say that, and it may sound ugly, but you know, we fight among ourselves. There's dissemination inside the ranks. I met with an organization that has been doing a tremendous job here in Atlanta, Goodwill Industries. They came up with a program, Choices for Women. Unfortunately, that program, to my dismay, that it actually is no longer in existence. And because of that, there was no support from the women trades organizations to support the women who actually were in those programs. So therefore, that program is no longer in existence in that style, but it has an existence now that is inclusive of men, which have always dominated the construction industry anyway. But needless to say, those funds that was for that program had been allocated for women to be able to have some exposure in the industry. And when you don't have business owners, women business owners, empowering each other and hiring other tradeswomen, this is how programs start to come apart, just like the programs that's in Akron, Ohio, under the Akron Urban League. And under their watch, they've allocated millions of dollars on the EDGE program. They have not produced not one viable contractor in Columbus, Cincinnati, or in the state of Ohio that could be bonded. However, they've been allocated monies for a women's construction program, but never contacted NAWIC or any other trades organization. When we tried to contact them about their program, they stated that they had the program under their care for watch, and I asked them about the sustainability level when it came to other women being able to mentor who were in the construction industry, and they said they didn't have anybody. However, they will take the check that they got, and they'll get back with us later. So we've never heard from them since then, and as such, we will be utilizing our transparency trim campaign that has been brought into the forefront each month. We try to talk about transparency, but as time moves on and we have 100 days underneath our belt, everybody that pretended to be who they said they were, I think all of it's going to come to fruition here real soon. I just wanted to share with everybody that the Brotherhood has supported the National Coalition on an intricate level that a lot of people don't get when you say the carpenters. The industry is changing, and when it changes, programs that are not a part of a sustainability or lineage, as we call it, is going to be a very difficult task, and the participants that they have that go through the training programs, those individuals are going to just be, they're outdated programs that's been utilized throughout the city of Atlanta, out of the states of Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. These programs will not allow anybody to get a career in the construction industry. And that's what I think the coalition's voice should also point out. When you have accreditations and partnering and teams of people in industry, local industry councils that participate in activities, that's when you have created social networks within your social group. But if you don't have that, then therefore you have an ineligible individual, participant, or trainee that comes to and through a program, and there's no sustainability there. And so with that being stated, that our mission is to support women of color in construction, women business owners of any color and nature, and to support tradeswomen all over the globe. And we're very blessed to be working with Fiona Sherwing from the Ilawana Institute out of Sydney, Australia. It's been a wonderful visit for her. We spent the last part of the afternoon together talking and meeting and having some interviews regarding some more of the tradeswomen. And so we want to thank her and the support of the IBEW, Beatrice Andrews, and supporting the surveys and the interviews. I think this is a tremendous woman. Hopefully we'll be able to get her on the show and be able to move further with some kind of coalition of what they're doing. I think they have a coalition of tradeswomen. And so we certainly want to bring light to all women organizations. We're hoping to do a lot this year. And what we don't do this year, we'll do next year. But I think our youth build is going to be a lot more strategic than a lot of people can imagine. Because when you bring young people into a designed curriculum academic facility and give them strategic roles and involving industry, they take off. And that's what we're doing with our multimedia program. We also have brought on and have the utmost respect for our architect, which is Nadine Levy from Upbuild Design, who we aired live out of her office last week. So I certainly want to just kind of tell everybody this week has been the last several days have been very, 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 very overwhelming, and we have tried to put together a way for the projects that we do now have on the books to utilize those members who have joined. And I want to thank a few of the ladies that have joined in the last 30 days since we had our forum, and I want to make sure I'm accurate on the names and companies. One of them is Giovanna Constructors, Nicole Scott, and it was EMTC, Regina Williams, and Doors and Locks, which is owned by Muriel Montego, and one of our newer members who just came aboard was Angela Jones, who is a entrepreneur that is looking to work within the coalition and utilizes resources. So we want to thank those four businesses for becoming new members of the coalition. And we definitely want to make sure that everybody knows that as people start to join strategically, we're doing business models and aligning them up with a strategy. But we're also bringing in some coaches to be utilized in each person's company. So that will be something that we are bringing on additional consultants so that they can strategically be in line with some coaches. And also want to thank Dr. Hornbuckle, Ebony Hornbuckle from Loving Care Chiropractor. She'll be performing some of the health screens for our new members, so those people will be contacted here in the next 30 days. What else is new on the UBC is that the Brotherhood of Carpenters is a part of the building trades industry. And because of that strategic leveling of all the building trades, we have our hands wrapped around the entire Building Trades Association. That means all 16 divisions of work. And we were able to meet with them. And it's just a part of that, introducing each other and then moving forward strategically. Hopefully we'll be talking a little bit further about some of the decisions that were made that that was a part of the American Recovery Act further down the show. But I want to assure everybody that that American Recovery Act is inclusive of youth out of youth and veterans that recently got separated out of the service, underemployed women. And so I certainly want everybody to know that if you can go to our site, in which is ncwcc.org, and look at that, you'll have a very interesting understanding of what the American Recovery Act is. And the Brotherhood is actually the most important piece to it. They're not flexing their muscles, but it specifically states that you must be a part of a apprenticeship program through the Department of Labor as a group of as a participating employer of the Employment and Recovery Act. So I would like to share with other people that the information is there. If you are an employer and you wish to gain access to the stimulus package, you are able to now bid on those projects. Now, the good thing about this is that the people that are in charge of those projects, they know a little bit about it, but they don't know. And the reason why they don't know, because information has not flown properly to the right people who are in charge of the money. And so with the Brotherhood, they've strategically put themselves on a level to move multifaceted through the industry and partnering with different social groups. And I think they're with their partnering with the local industry councils and the AGC, which are members of the Brotherhood, signatory in that respect. You know, we certainly want to realize that the overwhelming amount of responsibilities that the coalition has taken on has taken its true form. We have been very successful in obtaining a few projects. We have been working as strategically as possible with Michelle Uchiyama, with Vital Living Center, Charitable Connections. There's a large meeting that's going to be coming up, and we'll finalize on whether or not we will be able to build a model based on some levels of projects that we have aligned with her. I don't want to speak on something that is not coming to fruition, but at the same token, you know, I always like speaking life into everything. So we're hoping that we'll be able to close out a deal that was going to last about 10 years to do some revitalization, stabilization for our communities, and everybody will benefit from it, from our youth to the people in the communities and gaining employment. And then we're going to use that same model and build that model across the world. And we're actually going to be working with Fiona Sherwing with the Ilawana Institute in Australia to position the Aboriginal women in building a product that's going to deliver sustainability. And I want to thank one of the young ladies that we met with today was Mrs. White from the Office of Contract and Compliance in DeKalb County. And she was certainly a very big help in helping Fiona understand the dynamics of having an LSBE, MBE program. And I certainly want everybody to realize that we have started to level out, even though it's the springtime. As a contractor, I still have a schedule in order to meet. And with that schedule, I am making sure that we try to get here on the show and move forward. We are looking for a host for the show. So if you have a need or will to, you know, be on the show, then you know, please give us a call. Just make sure that it is something that you want to do, because it does take a commitment like anything else. So the last thing I want to say is, and we're going to make sure we are very firm about what I'm about to say next. Our show ends in about 12 minutes. It's going to be ending a little bit earlier because, you know, we try very hard to make sure that a lot of things are said on the show, but this particular one, I think, is a breather in essence to what the youth are doing. We will continue to have our Blog Talk Radio show, but we are looking to interview a new host for the show, and so therefore this has brought itself into light. I think we have a unique situation. We have a unique situation. I think people are impressed about what we have done since August, and having a show every Wednesday consistently. We've had it on New Year's. We had it on Christmas. We have been very consistent. Consistency is what we're talking about. And so by us being a part of the national executive level, it's our responsibility, no matter what we feel on the inside, to move forward. It's a charge to keep, I have. And I want to make sure everybody knows that as you see the DVD documentary when it's released, then you'll be able to understand exactly what I mean by that. And so for those who have been sitting and listening offline, I want to thank you. I didn't have a chance to go into the chat room, and I think there's been a lot of technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, with some of the changes they've made internally when it comes to their executive position. But however, needless to say, we are on, and they are working hard to help us recover some of the times that we have not been able to air completely on. I certainly want to make sure that I finish the one discussion that I had with the Brotherhood and the Carpenters Bill of Rights and Responsibility that they declare for their members, to remember that they are obligated to put money in the pockets of the working people, you know. And so, therefore, we understand that, with that being said, we must take very, very clear understanding that the Davis-Bacon Act is the actual infrastructure on how projects are being decided on when it comes to livable wages. And those wages are very, very clear. They make no qualms about exactly what those are. People are getting those wages inside the bid themselves, but they're not giving those wages to the employees, and they're not also applying the benefits that are supposed to be in the check. So we want to get into that a little bit further and later down the line, and we want to thank everybody for listening in. So we're just going to close the show out, as we always do, with Ayana. Everybody have a good night. Thank you.
modesty. And finally, I found somebody who fit perfectly. You're everything that I dreamed you'd be. And I'll be what you need, 'cause I'm playing for keeps, baby. Let it out slowly, please. If it's a dream, don't pinch me, baby. Could you let me sleep? As long as I see your face, I want to be awake. I count sheep around.